Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy name was profound. And based on his faith in the holy name, the whole Krishna consciousness movement has been going on. I joined the Association of Devotees in Boston, and when I joined, there was no Harinam Sankirtan outside the temple. We would just have programs in the temple, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening, and then the Sunday love feast. And as devotees joined and as artists came to Boston to join the art department, our only income, which was Satsarupa's paycheck from the welfare department, was insufficient. And Srila Prabhupada had said, if need be, the devotees can get jobs. So one devotee, Petit Pavan, said, I used to work at the post office. I could probably get a job there. Another devotee said, I know the grocer down the street. I could probably get a job there. And then one devotee, very humble devotee, all the devotees were humble, Nandakishore, quoted a letter from Srila Prabhupada in which Srila Prabhupada said, if you just go out on Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. So we thought, this sounds good. We'll try this. And in those days, we didn't even have Back to Godhead magazines to distribute. So we went out and just chanted and asked people for donations. We came back and counted up $7, which was pretty good for us. So, okay, we'll do this again. We went out the next day, did the same thing with more enthusiasm and more conviction, came back and counted up $12. This has got great potential. And then the third day, same thing, counted up $19. So then it became sort of a motto that if you just chant Hare Krishna, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. Now, I'm going to skip ahead to 1977 in Bombay, Zulu. Srila Prabhupada had a very staunch follower, servant, devotee named P.L. Sethi. He was so staunch, he reminded me of, in relation to Prabhupada, of Hanuman, in relation to Ram. And from before, when he met Srila Prabhupada, he was a member, and continued to be a member, of a Sankirtan Mandali called Radha Madhav Prem Shuddha. That Shuddha, it means nectar, not the one that means... Garuda's like my referee here. He'll tell me if my pronunciation is right or not. So Radha Madhav Prem Shuddha Sankirtan Mandali. And they would meet every Sunday and perform 12 hours continuous Hare Krishna kirtan. And they in Bombay, at least, they were householders, so every Sunday they would take turns at a different person's home. That was 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., they would sing Raj songs. So Mr. Sethi thought, why not have them come to the temple in Juru? And at that time we had our, what we used to call semi-permanent temple. Many of you, well, some of you have been there. Others may have seen photos. But it was a, you know, it was just a platform with some steel tubes and asbestos sheets. And meanwhile, the Juhu project that exists there now was coming up, and Prabhupada was living in his new quarters, although they weren't completely finished, but he was living there. So these devotees, Radha Madhava devotees, they were performing kirtan. And although Srila Prabhupada wasn't physically present with them, they were very much chanting for his pleasure. And they really wanted to have some personal reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada. But they couldn't really go up to see Srila Prabhupada. The lift wasn't working. The elevator wasn't working. Plus it would have been too taxing. And he couldn't come down. But at one stage, they became so, like, overwhelmed with the mood of chanting for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure and wanting to reciprocate with him, that they came out of the temple and started singing under the balcony. I mean, he was up on the sixth floor, but they were singing under his balcony. And Mr. Sethi, like, helped Srila Prabhupada to come out to the balcony, and he reciprocated, and they went mad. I mean, they just, like, they went wild. So it was a very nice program, and at the end, one lady, she was, like, known for this in their group, she would sing this song, forgive me, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. And Mr. Sethi told us afterwards that when she was singing, tears were coming down to the Prabhupada's cheeks. So the next morning, I went up to see Srila Prabhupada in his quarters. And he said, that kirtan was wonderful. You should invite the whole group to stay on Hare Krishna land. And we will maintain them. And all they have to do is chant Hare Krishna like they did. So, when Srila Prabhupada said that, different thoughts started to go through my mind, like, they have jobs, they have children who are probably going to, you know, just... So, this was going on in my mind, and I was silent. And Prabhupada must have known. And so he said, all right, then, at least our devotees should chant 12 hours every day. So then I thought, well, Prabhupada taught us that we have to spread the movement. We were working to finish the temple. We had to deal with the civic authorities. I mean, there were so many things going on. So I said, I don't know how that will work. And, you know, And Prabhupada said, okay. Then once a week on Sunday. And by, I was so relieved that I immediately agreed. Oh yes, once a day on Sunday. And afterwards, Kamalakrishna Goswami commented that Prabhupada had done some transcendental bargaining. That if he'd started with 12 hours on Sunday, I might have said, oh, that's maybe 4 hours. Because he started like so high up. When we got to 12 hours, it was a relief. So we instituted that, and it was fantastic. It was really wonderful. And an amazing thing happened, and I guess this in a way could relate to what Srila Prabhupada had written so many years earlier. If you chant Hare Krishna, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. But I was a temple president, and it was miraculous that every Sunday through that continuous kirtan, all the problems were solved. Either the problems went away, or the devotee realized it wasn't a problem, or I got some insight into how to solve the problem. So, Monday, Tuesday, if devotees approached me, I would try to come up with some answer. Wednesday, maybe a little bit, but by Thursday I thought, oh, we're almost there for the Sunday kirtan. So I'd say, all right, give me a few days, and I'll get back to you on Monday. And really, it was miraculous how those problems just disappeared somehow or other. So, yes, this chanting is really our life. There's a little discussion about the Mayavadis and chanting. There was quite a major Mayavadi ashram outside Bombay. And many of our friends were saying, oh, you have to go there. They manage very nicely and they have beautiful gardens. And so I went. And I saw in their hall, they had a sign with the words to the Maha Mantra. And it turned out that they were chanting Hare Krishna, among other things, I'm sure. And when I mentioned that to Srila Prabhupada, he said, indirectly, they have joined our Sankirtan movement. I think it's been like that, that without that, Mayavadis don't really attract so many people with that. It's great. Once we were walking between Hare Krishna Land and Juhu Beach, and some little children said Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, our mission is a success. They're chanting Hare Krishna. And another time he was sitting at the back of the property and he heard the sounds of kirtan from the temple and he said that this is Hare Krishna land. The sounds of Hare Krishna should always be heard. I don't know if I would say deviate from the subject, but yesterday Garuda Prabhu told me that he had mentioned a letter that Srila Prabhupada had written to me before I went to India. And I don't know if he got a chance to tell you about the sequel Well, there's two sequels. There's his sequel and my sequel. So, his sequel, of course, was that he took up Srila Prabhupada's instruction in that initial letter to me. And my sequel
which
was...
I thought you would be more appreciated.
I'm so appreciative. So, I came prepared. This is... This is just to be authentic. I mean,
I got
not
it.
That you're not. All right, so this is the first letter. And this letter, in a way, it shows how diplomatic Srila Prabhupada was. It shows how intelligent he was. It showed how compassionate he was. My dear Giriraj, I beg to enclose herewith one letter I have received from your father, which will speak for itself. From this letter, it appears that you are a good scholar and there is very good background in your educational career. So my father obviously had written Srila Prabhupada asking him to encourage me to continue my education, which Garuda Prabhu did for me. So if you wish to make progress further in your educational career, that will be a nice asset for our Krishna consciousness movement. You have a taste for psychology and divinity studies, and this is very nice. Of course, our Krishna consciousness movement is on the line of divinity, and we have got so many books about the science of divinity. Unfortunately, these books are not yet on the university curriculum. But if you take your postgraduate studies in divinity by comparative study, then in the future we shall be able to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in comparison to other theological presentations. Actually, we are teaching the science of God. We are teaching how to develop our dormant propensity to love God. Being parts and parcels of the Supreme, we have got an eternal affinity to love God. Unfortunately, by our contact with matter, we have practically forgotten that we are eternally related with God. In our Krishna consciousness philosophy, there is no question of sectarian views. Krishna consciousness is the postgraduate study of all religious conceptions of the world. I like the idea that you should make a thorough study of all theological schools, and in the future, if you can explain our Krishna consciousness movement as the postgraduate presentation of all theological theses, then it will be a great accomplishment. You are a grown-up boy. And intelligent also, so you make your position clear and do the needful. Now, when I received this letter, I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. I wasn't sure whether Srila Prabhupada was saying, I should do this, or must do this, or whether he was giving me the choice. And so I consulted Satsrupa Maharaj, who was the temple president, and he also wasn't sure. So we decided, I told him what my personal feelings were, and so we concluded I should write Srila Prabhupada and tell him that if he wants me to continue my studies and follow the plan of action that he described, I would be happy to do it. But if he's giving me the choice, then I would rather stay in the temple with the devotees and worship the deities and go out on Harinam Sankirtana and so on. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote back, "I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter and have noted the contents carefully. When Lord Chaitanya was discussing with Ramananda Rai who is the best educated man, the answer was that a person in Krishna consciousness is the topmost educated man. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj stated before his father that one who has taken to Krishna consciousness, he is supposed to be the best educated man. In Srimad Bhagavatam also it is said that unless a man is Krishna conscious, his external advancement of knowledge has no value. On the other hand, any person who is on the platform of Krishna consciousness is supposed to have acquired all the good qualities of the demigods. So your present engagement is very nice. Neither I think that you can be better educated in the universities." Now I will add a little comment here, which is not that Garuda Prabhu or others like him, although there are no others like him, went to the university because he thought he could be better educated. The way he explained it to me is that during Lord Chaitanya's time, that during Lord Chaitanya's time, sannyas was highly respected. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although there was no need for him to take sannyas, he took sannyas so that people would respect him and be more receptive to his message. So, in our time, people who have a PhD, who are doctors, and more so if they're professors, they are respected. So in that mood, he thought if he gets his PhD, and people will be more respectful of his message. And I think that's true. But as for me, what Srila Prabhupada wrote is, "So your present engagement is very nice. Neither I think that you can be better educated in the universities. Practically, we find that in your country there are so many big universities and the government arranges for educating the entire population, but still hippies are coming out from the education institutions. It is understood that in some of the big universities, the entire student body has turned to be hippies. Of course, the hippie philosophy is nice, in the sense that they have been disgusted with the materialistic way of life. Therefore, they want to renounce the stereotyped way of life. Unfortunately, they have no good leader. Neither they have any information that there is another beautiful life in Krishna consciousness." So that is where Srila Prabhupada came in. Like he said, the hippies knew what was wrong, but they didn't know what was right. And he showed them and showed us what was right. And he was the leader that he needed. And then this, just more in the same vein. So, Srila Prabhupada really was all-inclusive. You know, he gave devotees a chance to serve him and Krishna in different ways according to their capacity and according to their realizations. And we're all united with that common goal of serving Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, even with our different differences, individuality. I guess the only other thing I think of right now is just, especially, well, I mean, all the presentations, but the first 10 minutes of Yadubara Prabhu's film, how Srila Prabhupada left India all alone, suffered two heart attacks at sea, and how he plopped himself in the middle of us and just entered our hearts. Vyasa Prabhu gave a beautiful description of kirtan from the chanter's heart into the hearer's heart, and then from their heart into the chanter's. Just incredible. It's just incredible. And if it weren't for him, of course none of us would be here. But even beyond that, the world would be a very different place. He, in his later days, commented how this increase in interest in vegetarianism, reincarnation, and now yoga, they were all indirect results of the Krishna consciousness movement. And when I see all of you here, I think there's like a little piece, this is figurative, a little piece of Srila Prabhupada in each and every one of you. And so each of you in your own ways is, you know, carrying on his legacy and furthering his mission. And, you know, for that I'm very grateful. And it's actually by the association of all of you that we can even maintain ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So, somehow this thought came to mind about cows. That Srila Prabhupada said that cows are so auspicious that if you just associate with cows, you immediately become elevated to the mode of goodness. Once I was at the Bhaktivedanta ashram at Govardhan, and I wanted to have there were a lot of devotees around, there was a festival, and I wanted to have some talk with Keshava Bharati Das Goswami in somewhere where we wouldn't be disturbed. And he said, well, we can sit out by the cows. And Prabhupada said, just by associating with the cows, you immediately get elevated to the mode of goodness. So, not sure exactly why that came to mind, but I think it is because by associating with all of you, we'll get elevated to the transcendental platform. So, I thank you for that. Hare Krishna.